Good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, Car Guru. Glad to be in your presence. And I like to do these live shows where I'm doing live action. You know, I realize you can't see it, and I could be faking it, you know, for all you know. But you know me. I don't fake stuff. Well, sometimes I do fake enthusiasm. But that don't we all, though, occasionally? Sometimes you have to put up a front. And I had this one guy one time say, well, Lenny, you're being fake when you put up a front. No, not really. You know, I remember Zig Ziglar used to say, I get what I want by helping enough other people get what they want. And so if that's being fake, then I guess, you know, I guess maybe I occasionally am. But this is real. I am live on bringatrailer.com. And I talk exhaustively about this because it is the marketplace, folks, for vintage cars. I don't care what you think something is worth. It doesn't matter because something's worth what somebody's willing to pay for it. I've got a guy trying to sell me something right now. It's kind of interesting. One of my favorite cars of all time is like a 1930. Well, that's an exaggeration. It's a beautiful car. It's called a Lincoln Zephyr. And it's not the one that they made a few years ago. This is the original Lincoln Zephyr. And this is a 1939 model. Look it up. It is a beautiful car. Very simple, but very elegant and beautiful. Well, Ford made a kind of a version of that. Is the Ford Coupe. In 1940, and I got a guy trying to sell me one. And it's a hot rod. You know what bugs me about it? It's got a Chevrolet engine in it. Now, I've got nothing against Chevrolet. We were a Chevrolet family from 1929 until I sold the Chevy dealership in 2010. I became a Ford dealer in 2005 and really kind of became a Ford fan just simply because of the experience that I had when they invited me to come to Dearborn, Michigan, and go through the world headquarters and the Henry Ford Museum and go through plant tours. And they fed us at the TPC Golf Club there I think it's in Dearborn. And we actually had dinner one night in Henry Ford's house. And that was cool. It's called Fairlane. So, you know, you're pretty important if you name your house. A lot of people name their cars, but they don't name their houses. You know, you don't name a double wide in a subdivision. At least I didn't name mine. But they did name Henry Ford's house Fairlane. You ever heard of that name before? Yes. They made a Ford Fairlane a car. So, anyway, we did have dinner. I sat in his, his big dining room. Huge table. All these new dealers were lined up around the table. They fed us really well and then took us a tour of the... They had their own power station there on the Rouge River. I think this was a little tributary of the Rouge. It may have actually been the Rouge, but I'm not sure. The Rouge River runs right through the middle of the oldest existing plant where they used to build Model A's and so forth. And now they build F-150s and they build the new electric... the Lightning truck, and they build the Mach-E, several others. But anyway, so much history and stuff like that. And they have a power plant there that was designed by Henry's buddy, Thomas Edison. And they could generate all of their own electricity off of the Rouge River. But they have a swimming pool and tennis courts and stuff like that, just beautiful grounds. And it was just cool. Went upstairs to the... to his bedroom, saw the bed that he passed away in. And then we stopped on the way down the stairs for a big group photo, which I have right over there on my wall. I'm looking at it right now. That was when I didn't have as much gray hair as I have now. But all that to say this, 1940 Ford that I'm looking at is a hot rod. Not exactly what I wanted. I'd rather have an original car with a flathead V8 and, you know, the manual transmission and so forth, something that is original wheels, tires, of it. But this thing's been hot-rodded. Apparently, the guy who did it took 8 years, and he spent, well, he stopped counting at $150,000. Can you imagine? Now, the car's not worth near that. But just because, you know, a lot of people spend a lot more money on cars than what, you know, they expect to get out of it. They don't do it necessarily for the money. But I do. I mean, I'm always watching that dollar because I know that eventually I may end up flipping the car and selling it. And really, I buy cars, old cars that I find. I fix them. I find them. Finding them is the fun part and getting all the history and stuff like that. And then I fix them or I pay people to fix them. You know, I'm the director. And then I sell them. You know, I either sell them on bring a trailer or something like that. But this 40 Ford has been hot rodded. And what really bugs me about it is when they do a lot of hot rods, guess what brand of engine they put in them? Chevrolet. Well, why do they do that? Well, it really wasn't because the Ford engines, the small block Ford, you know, 289, 302, and 351s and stuff were unreliable. They're just more expensive, and there are fewer, parts manufacturers out there that make upgrade parts for 302s and 351s and stuff. There's a whole lot more that does it for the world famous Chevy small block. Matter of fact, the Chevy small block engine, there have been more of those made than any other engine in the history of engines. And the ubiquity of it makes it inexpensive to, you know, hop up. It's a push rod engine. It's pretty old technology. It was developed in the, first came out as a 265, I think was the first in a 1955 Chevrolet. And then they boosted a little bit. And when the 57s came out, maybe the 56s, they went to a 283 V8. Eventually, you know, they just kept drilling them out a little bit bigger, those cylinders, and got up to 350. Now, they make an engine called a stroker motor, and that's where you take a 350 and bore it out even more to a 383. Well, that's what's in this 40 Ford. Just doesn't sound right, does it? What kind of engine you have in your Ford, Chevy? You know, I'd rather spend a little bit more money and have a Ford engine in there. Like I said, I'd rather have the old flathead V8 that came in it, but that's not available. So this car has been completely modernized. So when you look at it from a distance, it just looks like an old 44, which is a beautiful body style. Not as good as the Lincoln Zephyr, mind you, but it's pretty close, and it's a beautiful body style. Really cool-looking grille. Headlights kind of look like teardrops, but I just like it. So I'm really struggling with it. Would I buy it and keep it? You know, is this something that, you know, I put in a showroom and maybe drive? I don't go to car shows. I mean, I go to car shows. I don't show cars because to me, that's not fun. I like going to a car show to look at cars, but I don't want to have to, you know, make sure mine's all clean and stuff and have people walking around and ask me a bunch of questions. I don't mind answering questions about cars, mind you, but it's usually hot. You know, the sun's out. It's summertime. I don't want to sit in my fold-out chair. Those things hurt my rear end. And I don't want to sit there all day long and just answering questions and stuff. I'd rather walk around looking at everybody else's cars. Or better yet, go to a barber museum and look at all cars and motorcycles indoors in 70-degree temperatures. So I'm trying to make a decision. Do I want to buy these things? Well, I haven't heard a price yet, so we'll see. But it is kind of price-dependent. And quite frankly, folks, it's probably not something that I would keep. This would be something. So I've got to think about that. How much can I get for it? So I'll do research on bringatrailer.com. So I'm looking at this feed right now from Bring a Trailer. Coming up next, well, let's see how many auctions they got going on. 619 auctions. Now, that means there's 619 cars on the website that are on auction, is 7-day auction. So it starts at 7 days and it goes to zero. Like here's a car that's got 1 minute and 54 seconds left. It's a 38,000 mile 2011 Mercedes-Benz E550. Now that was a pretty expensive car back in the day. 5.5 liter V8. I don't know how many miles it has on it, but the current bid is only 16,250. I bet it's a lot of miles. You know, that's something that has really blown me away. is the decline of Mercedes-Benz. You know, I think when they bought Chrysler, it just kind of took the shine off of them. Maybe I'm mistaken. But, you know, when I think Mercedes, don't you think of that big grill? You know, like the cars they had from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And then all of a sudden they started, well, you know, we need to modernize and make it look like a Ford Taurus. Everybody was into aerodynamics. And now you look at a Mercedes coming down the road and, you know, it could be a Genesis or a Hyundai. You know what a Genesis is, right? That's a fancy Hyundai. That's a luxury division of the Hyundai Corporation. Seems like an oxymoron. So here's another car. Here's a 1970 Mercedes-Benz 280 SL. Now, that was a Mercedes. Two-door, you know, like the 450 SL and the 500 SL. It's a two-door luxury touring car that has a hardtop. It's a removable hardtop, and then you have a convertible top as well. The 280 SL was the last of the really, I don't know, slim-looking, delicate Mercedes-Benz SLs. They called this one the Pagoda Top Mercedes. It's because the roof had this really, instead of it being like concave, it was convex, meaning that it was higher on the sides than it was in the middle. It looked like a Japanese pagoda, I guess. That's what Japanese pagodas look like. But beautiful headlights and stuff like that. That car has got 4 minutes to go, and it's at $51,000. So, you know, I go down through here. Here's a 1979 Yamaha motorcycle. Here's a Hummer, one of the 22. Okay, so 22 GMC Hummer. You remember what happened to Hummer, right? Well, I'll tell you here. Let me take my first break, and I'll be back in just a second. Okay, I got caught not watching the clock. You got to watch the clock when you're doing a radio show. So I'm looking at this these live feeds on Bring a Trailer. Like I said, there's 619 auctions going on right now, right before my eyes. You know, it's really hard to get work done sometimes when something like this exists. It's real easy for me to be, you know, banging along on stuff on my computer, writing notes, and all of a sudden, bing, something, a little, one of my reminders clicks up on a car that I've been watching on Bring a Trailer, and I'm shot for 20 minutes. It's not a very effective use of time. But anyway, here's a 22, that's a 2022, GMC Hummer EV. Now, you know what happened to Hummer, right? You remember? You remember it was a military vehicle at one time. A company called AM General actually built these and got the military contract. And, you know, they kind of became famous. A lot of rap artists started buying them and cruising around Hollywood and New York and places like that with them. And so General Motors said, we need a brand to compete with Jeep. And so they bought the they didn't buy the military division of Hummer. They just bought the commercial side of it. And started producing a couple models. The first one was based on a Chevy Tahoe chassis. So they already had the chassis, and they said, well, let's turn in this, let's create a Hummer that we can afford to build. So body on frame construction, 350 V8, just like a Chevy Tahoe. And they sold pretty good. And then they decided, well, that was pretty successful. Let's make a smaller Hummer. And so they took their Chevy Colorado truck, which is, again, body-on-frame construction, and they built a Hummer on the Chevy Colorado frame. Well, these vehicles did not get the best gas mileage. And General Motors was headed to bankruptcy, and government took over. And Barack Obama said, they don't need Hummers anymore. They also don't need Pontiacs. So we're going to get rid of Pontiac. We're going to get rid of Hummer. And Saturn was already gone before they got a chance to get rid of it. And so Hummer went bye-bye, but General Motors still had the rights to it. Well, they're coming back out with it, but they've learned their lesson. No more internal combustion engines for Hummers. Now it's EV only. So you know what EV stands for, right? Electric vehicle. So if you go buy a 2020, or order, you can't go buy one, but if you order a 2022 GMC Hummer from General Motors, you're going to have to dig deep. It's going to cost right around $100,000 to $120,000, depending on how it's equipped. I don't know how much this one was. You know, it's a pretty cool looking vehicle. I mean, it definitely looks like a Hummer. So this one is for sale and bring a trailer. It's got 33 minutes left to go. The current bid is $208,000. So obviously, there's some people with deep pockets that want this 20-mile Hummer from Scottsdale, Arizona. I saw one at the Amelia Island Concours d'Elegance, and I was impressed with a really cool-looking instrumentation. It's just a General Motors vehicle, though. I mean, that ought to be enough to scare you. Total vehicle price is the original window sticker is $112,895. So the base price is I can't see it. They've got it covered up. But that's a lot of money. How about $208,000, though? That's even more money. And somebody must really want something to pay that much for. And you know why people are willing to pay that for it, right? Because they can be the new kid on the block. It's like somebody that buys a Tesla. I saw a lady driving down the road that I live on in Tesla. And, you know, when you buy a Tesla, you become a subject of conversation. When you go to a party or something like that, people say, what do you drive? I drive Tesla. And all of a sudden, you are swarmed by people. And I think it's an attention-getting thing. But, you know, they don't want to drive to the beach with it because they can't find a charging station. Hopefully, they'll be able to fix that. So looking, you know, all the way down through here, just look, here's a BMW motorcycle. Here's a Honda motorcycle. Here's a 1973 Ferrari Dino 246 GT. It's kind of an interesting car. Neat story. So Enzo Ferrari was an interesting guy. I guess you might have learned a little bit about, probably not a good side of Enzo, when you watch the movie Ford versus Ferrari. Wasn't real flattering for Enzo. The guy did look like Enzo, though. But Enzo Ferrari wasn't a bad guy. A little temperamental. He's Italian. Got him some slack. But way back in the 60s, Enzo had a son, and his son got a fatal disease and ended up succumbing to it, and his name was Dino. And, of course, you know, he was devastated, as you can imagine. And I guess the engineers got together and said, we need to build kind of a tribute car, but we need to make an affordable Ferrari. So that's what they did, and they created the Dino, but it didn't say Ferrari anywhere on it. Everybody knew it was a Ferrari, but it was called a Fiat Dino. Now they call them Ferrari Dinos, but it doesn't say Ferrari, like I say, anywhere on the car. They had a two-door coupe version, and then this sports car that I'm looking at right now. These cars have just skyrocketed. You know, 20 years ago, you could buy a Dino in decent condition for probably $50,000. This one just hit. It's going to sell tomorrow. It's already up to $301,000. Probably going to bring in the mid-fours, low-fives. And it's just a little six-cylinder, horizontally opposed engine. Looks really cool. I mean, it's a beautiful car, but, you know, it drives like, you know, not good. I can't really say some of the descriptors that I normally use, but, you know, you look at the instrumentation, and it's all very 70-ish. But, boy, that's one of those cars that is incredibly valuable. What else is on here? Oh, I had a guy call me the other day. He said he has a Ford Falcon 66 Ford Falcon convertible that is red. And it's only got like, it's under 100,000 miles. Matter of fact, this guy is my barber, and I'll tell you about it in just a minute. So I was getting my hair cut by my 86-year-old barber. He tells me he has a 1966 Ford Falcon. I kind of sat up in my seat. He almost took off a little extra hair when I did that. 289, red, resale red, red interior, white top. I said, what are you going to do with that? And he said, I don't know. Probably give it to my boys. I said, do your boys want it? Nah, not really. Why don't you just give them money instead? Well, I could do that. I'll give you the money for the car. He said, I don't know. I have to think about it. So the Falcon's an interesting car. So you may remember me talking about this, but you know, when Henry Ford had the Edsel debacle, it didn't sell, you know, and that really hurt his feelings. And I can understand that because the Edsel was named after his dad, Edsel Ford, Henry's only son. But Henry II was actually Henry Ford's grandson. Did you know that? Well, now you do. And he just said, okay, we're putting all the brakes on product development from now on. We've lost bukus of money on the Edsel. I've taken a real shot to my pride, and I'm just not going to risk anything else. Well, he had this little rambunctious guy working for him at the time named Lee Iacocca. And Lee didn't have the same mindset. And he had been watching the market really closely, and he knew that there was room for a new type of a vehicle. And it was a personal sports car, something, not a sports car, not a race car or anything like that, but something had a back seat, and something had two seats in the front, sporty. And he thought it would sell. So they started developing this vehicle, but Henry didn't know anything about it. This is true, okay? I'm telling you the truth. And so they developed this vehicle on a Ford Falcon chassis. Yep, they already had the driveline. They already had the engine. It's kind of a unibody constructed vehicle. It does have some frame, you know, in front of the firewall. But they already had all that developed. And they said, well, let's put this really cool-looking body on it. Well, in 1964 at the New York World's Fair, they introduced it. Of course, that was after Lee Iacocca went upstairs and said, hey, Henry, or Mr. Ford, I need you to come downstairs and look at something. What? Well, we want to sell this new personal car. No, we're not doing anything. Please come down and look at the car. So he came down and looked at the car and said, what chassis is it on? And they said, it's on the Falcon chassis. We didn't have to do any of the drivetrain or the structure of the vehicle. It was basically a Ford Falcon. Okay, so what did the development cost? They told him. He said, it's a good-looking car. Let's sell it. So they went to the New York World's Fair, which I was at. I was there with my family. I was, how old was I? Eight. Yeah, 1964. And we went to the New York World's Fair, and of course, I didn't give any, and of course, my dad didn't care anything about Fords, but it was really kind of cool. We saw a lot of Fords, went through the Ford Pavilion, and they introduced the Mustang. And the Mustang was the first pony car. Then in 1967, Chevrolet came out with their pony car, except they didn't call it a pony car. They called it a Camaro. And then Dodge, Chrysler Corporation, came out with their Challenger and Charger. That was their sports car for the late 60s. So anyway, that's a little story about the Ford Falcon. I thought you might. Oh, by the way, it's also a Futura. So it's a 64 Ford Falcon Futura convertible. Real boxy, real, you know, sculpted sides a little bit, but I'd like to have one of those cars. That's kind of cute. Again, it's one of those things where I have to make a decision. What's it for? What's my goal? You never buy an old car unless you have a goal in mind, so think about that. All right, folks, thanks for listening to this edition of El Sabio de Coche. That's the car guru in Spanish. And I will see you tomorrow.